reading Prabhupada Lila Amrita in the morning, so I thought we'd discuss some of the pastimes of Prabhupada and read some from the Lila Amrita. Sometime back I was thinking about how between 1896 and 1914 the five great acharyas were on this planet at the same time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. So when you have five great acharyas, when you have five great acharyas like that on the planet at the same time, in the same area, you know Krishna, he's got a plan. He's got a big plan. And that plan gradually unfolded with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur doing so much preaching with the Bhakti Vriksha and so many other ways he was preaching. But then he wanted help. He knew this was a big task. So he prayed for the Raya Vishnu, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of course he turned out to be such a great acharya. Srila Prabhupada said, what can be said about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? He was a Vaikuntha man. So of course he preached so much. So much so that the Gaudiya Math was the main spiritual movement in India during his time. 64 temples all over India. Very big, big preaching. And he started in a big way this book distribution. And he called it the Brihat Mridanga. You can hear the mridanga. If you play the mridanga here, you can hear maybe a block away. If someone's a real good drummer, like this devotee here, he's a pretty good drummer this morning playing. But the Brihat Mridanga, they get the book one place and somewhere else they become a devotee. Last year I was in Norway, in Europe, and I was giving some Sankirtan seminar there. And afterwards, one young man came to me and he said, well, not so young, one man came to me. He said, Vijay, you gave me a book 15 years ago in the Los Angeles airport. And I came back here to Norway, I read that book, and now I've been a devotee for 15 years. So it's very practical. Many, 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 many devotees have become devotees because they're getting a book one place and then reading it somewhere else. It's like in Los Angeles, and also actually all over America, we were distributing books in the airports because it was considered a public forum. And in America, we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion in all public areas. So we were distributing millions and millions of books in the airports. Yeah. And people were amazed because they'd go to one airport. There's one instance actually, one man, he was in one airport and a devotee approached him to distribute a book to him. He said, he was a little angry, no, don't bother me. Then he went to another airport. Again, he's another devotee there, tried to offer him a book. And he said, no. Went to another airport. Again, the devotee approaches him. And finally he said, you know, you people, you're everywhere. I guess this knowledge must be something important. All right, I'll take one. I'll take one. So he finally bought a book after the third airport. So many people have gotten books and become devotees through this book distribution. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he said, if you have life, then you'll preach. If you have life, then you'll preach. Now, if one doesn't preach, then what does that mean? No life. Right? So if we have life, if we're actually hearing nicely, we're going to come alive in our spiritual life. And we're going to want to give it to others, naturally. You get something nice, you want to share it with others. Just like, quite often people ask me, when I'm distributing books, why are you doing this? So I tell them, you know, this knowledge is very nice. And therefore we want to share it with others. You get something nice, you want to share it with others. So I want to share it with you, it's something nice. And also, we're on a mission. We're on a mission trying to increase wisdom in the world. It's a big challenge. So, that's our mission. We're trying to help people understand who they are, who God is. So few people understand who God is. I grew up a Christian. I tried to read the Bible. So many times I tried to read it, and I could only get to page 6. Difficult book to read. Yeah? Very boring. Yeah? The Old Testament. Very difficult. And what is the knowledge in the Bible? And other scriptures also. You know, Quran. God is great. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. Very little knowledge of God. But when I got the Bhagavad Gita, I couldn't put it down. I read the whole Gita in like 5 days. It was so interesting. So much knowledge about the soul, about God, about how to establish a relationship with Krishna. So much information is there. And so many people in the West, in America and Europe, they read the Bhagavad Gita and they became devotees. But there were so many Bhagavad Gitas before Prabhupada went to the West. Hundreds of them. But nobody became a devotee. Nobody became a devotee of Krishna. And therefore Srila Prabhupada called it Bhagavad Gita as it is. And all the other Bhagavad Gitas are Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Because people are given their own interpretation. There was one so-called scholar, he translated the Bhagavad Gita. And when he got to this verse, Sarva Dhammam Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayami Mahasiswa. When he got to this verse, his commentary on this verse was, Krishna is asking for too much. That's his commentary. They're such fools. Krishna's asking for a lot, that's right. He's asking us to fully surrender, but what's the result? If we fully surrender to Krishna, what happens? Krishna gives himself. So we come out ahead. We come out way ahead. We get Krishna. And Prabhupada said, you cannot repay me for what I've given you. I've given you Krishna. But if you want to try, then distribute books. This very much pleased Srila Prabhupada. And he said, if you want to please me, distribute books. And when he was leaving this world in Vrindavan, 41 years ago, all he wanted to hear was the results of book distribution. That's all he wanted to hear. So many letters, hundreds of letters were coming, you know, get well letters, you know, hoping Prabhupada would get well. You know. But he just wanted to hear the results of book distribution. Not the results of each temple, but each individual devotee, how many books they did, which books they distributed, everything. He just wanted to know. Yeah. So this is Prabhupada's life. Book distribution. And there was one instance where Prabhupada was visiting one temple, and the Sankirtan leader was speaking to Prabhupada. And the Sankirtan leader said, Prabhupada, sometimes the Sankirtan devotees, they say that book distribution, it's too much anxiety. It's too much anxiety. And Prabhupada replied, no. This is Krishna anxiety. This is good anxiety. This is purifying anxiety. This is good. And he said, just like Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, they were in anxiety, protecting Krishna. When Krishna was caught by the Kaliya serpent, in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, all the residents of Vrindavan were there, and there was so much anxiety, because everybody loved Krishna so much. Mother Yasoda is entering into the Yamuna to save Krishna, because she's thinking that he's just my little boy. I got to save him. So much anxiety. Nanda Maharaj had to stop her. No. Don't go. There was only one person that wasn't in anxiety. Who was that? Balaram. He was laughing. It's just Krishna. He's playing. He'll be all right. Don't worry. So much anxiety was there. Spiritual anxiety. It's good anxiety. So we should be in anxiety. People are suffering out there, and we have the cure. It's like, imagine if there's some doctor who found the cure for all different types of cancer. That would be huge news. It would be front page news in every paper on the planet. Doctor has found cure for all types of cancer. It'd be huge news. So imagine this same doctor, he decides to go out on a cruise for a year. He's just cruising around the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and the Indian Ocean. He doesn't give the medicine out to the people. Imagine. That would be the next big news. Doctor has found cure for all types of cancer. Goes on a cruise for 1 year, doesn't give it out to the people. He would be considered a rascal, right? Big rascal, right? So we have the cure for all types of cancer. Not only all types of cancer, we have the cure for all disease. We have the cure for death, old age, birth. We have the cure right here, Srila Prabhupada's books. If people get these books and they follow the instructions, they can go back home, back to Godhead. So we have to give it out. And if we don't give it out, then we're kind of like that doctor that's got the cure, but he doesn't give it out. So without a doubt, this is the cure. Srila Prabhupada said, our temples, he wrote a letter to all the devotees at one temple, our temples are not places for eating and sleeping, but they are bases from where we send out our soldiers to fight against Maya. To fight against Maya means to drop hundreds and thousands and millions of books onto the laps of the conditioned souls. Just as during wartime, the bombs are dropping from the sky like anything. So these books are kind of like bombs. And they go into people's homes. And sometimes they sit in their bookshelf. Tick, 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 tick. Just waiting for them to pick it up. I'll tell you an interesting thing that happened. There was one young man in America. He wanted to know God. So he went to his mother. Mom, can you tell me something? Can you give me some information? I want to learn about God. Can you give me some direction? And she said, "Well, did you read the Bible?" He said, "Yeah, I tried, but I didn't get much out of it." She said, "Well, you know something? I got a book 25 years ago from one monk. It's called Krishna. Try reading that." So she gave him this book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he read that book. He was so impressed. He became a devotee. So 25 years, it's ticking away, waiting. And then finally this young man picks it up, and now he's a devotee. Sometimes when I'm distributing books, people say, "I have no time. I'm so busy, I have no time to read." So I tell them, "Well, I'm going to tell you something about books that you've never heard before." "Well, yeah, what's that?" "Books are patient. Books are patient. They'll wait. They'll wait decades. Just put it in your bookshelf. It'll wait. Sometime you'll have some time. Then you'll read it." And many times they take. What's that? Books are patient. And Krishna is also patient. So Srila Prabhupada, he sometime later, in 1922, you all know, there was that divine meeting, amazing meeting between Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he didn't want to go meet. He had a friend, Narendra, who was trying to entice Prabhupada to go meet this Swami. But he didn't want to go because he had seen so many Swamis already, because his father would invite them. But he wasn't very impressed. He wasn't very impressed with all these Swamis. And even Prabhupada's father became pretty disgusted because of, you know, hypocrisy and things. So he didn't want to go see him. So Narendra was pulling him, dragging him. So they're paying respects, they're paying obeisances to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And before they could even rise from paying obeisances, he instructs them, "You intelligent young men, you should go to the west and preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the western people." And Prabhupada challenged him. "Who will hear our message? We are a dependent country." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "The spreading of Krishna consciousness is not dependent on some political adjustments. This message is very important. It needs to be distributed." So they spoke for a couple hours, and Prabhupada was pleasantly pleased. He was very happy. And when they left this meeting, Narendra asked Srila Prabhupada, "So, what do you think?" He said, "The message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in very good hands." And he said, "Immediately I accepted him as my spiritual master." So Prabhupada was thinking, first I'll get rich, and then I'll help the preaching. Because now the first instruction was by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was go preach. But he thought, "Well, let me get wealthy, let me make a lot of money." And there was one astrologer that said he was if he would have stuck with his business, he would have been one of the wealthiest persons in India. Because he did, he started this business, this pharmaceutical business. He had a big factory. He was making good money. But that desire to preach was there in his heart. It didn't leave. that was planted into the heart of Srila Prabhupada in 1922 and it never left. So dedicated. And there's one instance when Prabhupada was working at his business. He had one customer that could see that Prabhupada wasn't just an ordinary businessman. So he said to Prabhupada, Abhay Charan at the time, can you give me the tonic by which I can get the love for God that you have? He said, no, I don't have love for Krishna. The devotee never thinks that he loves Krishna. I don't have that tonic, but I do have the formula. Anybody know the formula? Huh? No. What's the formula? Trinadapi sunitena tarorapi sahistana manina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. He said, this is the formula. One should think of oneself lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others, without desiring respect for oneself. In such a state of mind, one could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is the formula. Very interesting. Eh? So, Prabhupada was going from Allahabad, that's where he had his business, and his family was still there also in Calcutta, so he would go back and forth. And he would meet with the devotees, Sadhu Sangha. And there was one time when there was about five or six devotees there at his place, having Sadhu Sangha, discussing Krishna. And one of the devotees asked the others about this one statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he couldn't understand, just beyond him. Prithiviti achayata nagaradigram sarva chapachoyahoi moina. How is it possible that the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to be spread to every town and village throughout the world? How is this possible? It's not even everywhere in India. How is it possible? So he was asking different devotees there in this assembly, but he wasn't real satisfied until he asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, we have to have faith in the scripture that somehow this is going to happen. Somehow, by the arrangement of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name is going to be heard. So he was satisfied to hear his firm conviction, his faith. So now, fast forward, 1971. This same devotee, who was inquiring from the others, he's in one town, one city, and he sees a Western devotee, Caucasian, dhoti, kurta, tilak, shaved head, sika, kuntimala, whole thing. So he goes up to him, and he says, excuse me, yes, where are you from? He said, I'm from America. You're from America. And how did this happen? How did you become like this? Oh, this is the mercy of my guru. And who is your guru? So he had a book, so he showed the picture of Prabhupada. And the devotee is looking at this picture of Prabhupada. And he says, Abhay, Abhay Babu, Abhay, you did it, you did it. So Prabhupada did it. And he's still doing it. He's still doing it. People are getting Prabhupada's books and they're becoming devotees. I'll tell you an interesting thing that happened in Venezuela. Well, actually, I'll back up. I was in Vrindavan, and there's one devotee there that's distributing books at the Samadhi there in Vrindavan. And he sees one lady that's kind of, she's doesn't seem like she knows what's happening very much there in Vrindavan, a little out of place. So he goes over and starts talking to her, and he asks her, why are you in Vrindavan? Because she didn't, from talking to her, you could understand she didn't know much. And she said, well, you know, I'm from Venezuela. And when I was in Venezuela, I had this disease, very painful disease. And the doctors didn't know what it was, didn't have a clue about what it was. So one night I had a dream, and your Swami came to me in a dream, and he said, my name is Bhaktivedanta Swami, and I just want to let you know everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. So she was a little startled. And the next morning, she still remembered that name, and she looked it up on the internet, Bhaktivedanta Swami, and found out about ISKCON and everything. And a week later, the disease was gone. And she was thinking, it must be because of that Swami. So she was looking on the internet and finding out different temples and reading the philosophy and everything. And she wanted to visit a temple. And from reading, she found out that the most important temple is Vrindavan, because Krishna appeared there. So she said to this devotee, that's why I'm here. Your Swami cured me of this disease, and I just wanted to come and see what this movement is about. So this devotee said, you know, I think the disease that he was talking about was not so much your material disease, but the spiritual disease called false ego, misunderstanding of who we are. So this Swami who came to you in the dream, he wrote many books, about 60 books, and we have those books here. I think what would be very good for you and very pleasing to this Swami that has helped you will be for you to take these books and read them. And also chant this Hare Krishna mantra. This is a mantra for deliverance from the false ego, from misunderstanding of who we are. So she bought all the books he had. She bought japa beads and got the Kunti Mala, got everything. So she was very happy. So you see, Prabhupada is still helping us. He's still helping. He knows we still need help. So he's coming to people in their dreams even and making devotees. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So Prabhupada is still with us, preaching. And Prabhupada many times said, the best preaching is book distribution. And he said, our mission is to turn the crows into swans. And I'll tell you an amazing pastime. In Los Angeles, there was one young man who had a very demoniac tendency to harass the devotees. Sometimes he would go by the temple and he would throw rocks and break the windows of the temple, harass the devotees in different ways, pushing them around. One morning during japa, this happened. He came and he broke a window. So one devotee said, all right, I'm fed up, I've had enough. So he went out and he caught this person. And he beat him up. And this person was impressed, because he thought the devotees were passive, non-violent. In America we have a word, sissy. He thought the devotees were like sissies. You ever heard this word, sissy? It's like a boy that acts like a girl. Yeah. So he thought the devotees were like that. But he was impressed now. These guys are tough, you know. He was so impressed that he got some books and he started reading them. And he became more impressed with the philosophy. Then he started visiting the devotees. You know, he was more humble. He became very humble after getting beat up. You know? He became a devotee. Not only did he become a devotee, he became a book distributor. And not only did he become a book distributor, he became the number one book distributor in the world. Can you believe it? Yeah. He was a huge crow. Then he became a huge swan. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Of course, we don't recommend this type of preaching. Yeah. But this is what happened. There's another time there was one person who, he also used to harass the devotees. You know, use vulgar language and push them around, harass them in different ways. And one big devotee, tall, tough devotee, saw him harassing another devotee. He went up to him. He walked up to him. He said, "You're nothing but a punk." You understand the word punk? I don't know if they have it. Punk means someone who thinks he's a big guy, but he's nothing. He's just a wimp. Huh? Like a kid, yeah. He's like a kid. Thinks he's a big guy, but he's just a kid. He's just a punk. And the guy was shocked. Because no one ever spoke to him like that. He's kind of big himself and tough. But this one devotee, he was huge. So he didn't want to argue with this devotee. But that kind of humbled him. And he also, it humbled him so much that he started, talking to the devotees and reading the books, and he also became a devotee. So many times this has happened. And many of us were crows before coming to Krishna consciousness. Especially in the West. Here in India, still there's some culture, you know. But in the West, you wouldn't believe how fallen the devotees were. But Prabhupada came. And he helped us come out of this crow mentality. And become swans. Still there's some crow feathers, but there's some swan feathers coming up on some of us, right? Good qualities are coming up. Those are the swan feathers, the good qualities. And the bad qualities, those are the crow feathers. So as we continue chanting, then these bad qualities, these crow feathers are going to fall off. And these swan feathers, these good qualities of the Vaishnavas, are going to replace all these crow feathers. Yeah. We just have to continue this chanting. And Prabhupada says in one purport, he says, the Hare Krishna mantra is like a bow. Yeah. And the living entity is like an arrow. The string is the quality of our chanting. If our quality is very good, if we hear very nicely, very attentively, praying to Krishna, to be a devotee, to be a good servant of Krishna, then this string becomes very tight. If you have a tight string, then the arrow can be shot. But if you have a loose string, if we're chanting and we're not attentive, we're not hearing nicely with a proper mood, then the string becomes very loose. Now how far can the arrow be shot with a loose string? Right? It's not going to go anywhere. But if we chant very, very attentively, with a sincere desire to become a good devotee of Krishna, to become a selfless devotee of Krishna, then this Hare Krishna mantra, it's going to shoot us right back to the lotus feet of Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. But this is what is necessary. Attentive hearing. And therefore this is one of the main offenses that we commit when chanting. Inattentive chanting. I'll tell you a nice little practice that can help you chant attentively. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, when he would chant and he found that he was inattentive, he would stop and he would back up one or two beads and then he would go forward. You see, this checks the mind. As we all know, the mind becomes inattentive and it just goes all over the place, you know, all over, you know, the universe. You know. So this is a way to check the mind. And why is it so hard to chant attentively? Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the mind is a non-devotee. Now we all know, we're not supposed to associate with non-devotees. Right? But we have a non-devotee very close to us. Too close. So now we're trying to turn this non-devotee mind into a devotee. It's in the bhakti program. We're trying to turn it into a devotee. So now you have to kind of preach to the mind. I know you don't want to chant. But this is a new program. If you don't chant, if you don't hear attentively, then you're going to chant more. Okay? And then the mind says, oh, all right. So, we have to chant very attentively, very sincerely. Prabhupada uses these two words together quite a bit. Sincere and serious. Right? But they're very similar. So I looked it up. Sincere means genuine. Genuine desire to serve Krishna. So serious means thoughtful. So think when we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we shouldn't read Prabhupada's books like you read some novel. We should try to, Prabhupada was speaking to one devotee, he said, when you're reading these books, you should try to feel. You should try to feel what you're reading. Don't just read. And we should read attentively. Sometimes I find myself, I've read a whole page and nothing registered. The whole page and my mind is somewhere else. You ever have that experience? Yeah. It's terrible. The mind just it's such a rascal. So we have to read Prabhupada's books very attentively. And we have to hear the holy name very attentively. Actually, our whole process is all about being very attentive. It's like we have an amazing phenomenon in ISKCON that at night you're trying to sleep, right? You're laying down, the lights are off, there's no noise, and still it's hard to sleep, right? But you come to Bhagavatam class, and as soon as the devotee says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, you'll see some people are starting to go to sleep. Yeah. Even though the lights are on, you're sitting up, there's someone speaking in the microphone. It's amazing, huh? It's an amazing phenomenon we have. Even there's a saying in India, the cure for insomnia is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, no, we should hear very, very attentively. So I wanted to read something here. This is one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. This is a poem. You've all heard it. But this brings out the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Now, this is when Prabhupada had just arrived in America. I think he's still on the Jaladutta. He writes this beautiful poem. He says, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev, Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen." You see the humility here. It's amazing. "Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this message, this transcendental message, penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladutta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So because of this pure mood of Srila Prabhupada, this movement is now all over the world. Now we have 600 temples around the world. Over 500 million books have been distributed all over the world. Millions and millions of people are taking advantage of this knowledge that Srila Prabhupada kindly spread all over the world. So we should also want to give this message out. And humility is so important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, he prayed to Krishna, "When will I, with a humble heart, go out to spread the message of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" So this is very important, this humility. Humility is the crown jewel of devotional service. So, is there time for questions or answers or anything? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful explanation of Prabhupada's Leela. Can you please tell the name of that devotee who was in Los Angeles and thereafter he became the world number one book distributor?
His name is Ruchi. Ruchi Das. But he passed away. So you don't get the good fortune of meeting him. But this is the power of Prabhupada's book. Someone who is a complete demon can become a wonderful devotee. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.